A reading from Romans, the 3rd chapter, verses 19 through 31. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By the law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For today's meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor Stephen Spencer, Messiah Lutheran Church, Salem, Oregon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Did you catch that? The word all? St. Paul is speaking to two distinct groups. In chapter 1, he speaks to the first group, the Gentiles, the pagan world, the Goyim, who were raised without the Old Testament law and prophets. He uses the broad stroke of the law to engage them. He doesn't talk about the law with the large L as in the first five books of the Old Testament, which is called the Pentateuch, or about the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. No, he speaks in general terms about the law that brings about morality and decency in community and in personal relationships. St. Paul says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them," in Romans 1:19. The law convicts them and bears witness to their conscience. God reveals Himself to them, and so they are without excuse for their actions. "For although they knew God, they would not honor Him, and they would not give Him thanks, and they became futile in their minds, and their hearts were darkened." As St. Paul said, claiming to be wise, they became fools, Romans 1:21 and 22. They had sinned in thought, word, and deed. The second group St. Paul engages are his fellow Jews. In chapter 2, Paul addresses those who were raised with the law and the prophets. They believed that they had some advantage over the others because they had a written code, a set of rules which would allow them to be holy. And here St. Paul uses the fine tip of the law with a capital L, to show them that they really aren't holy. In their judging of others, they bring condemnation upon themselves. Haughtiness and hubris are signs of arrogance. The reality is that the law doesn't deliver people from sin. It convicts, it points out flaws, it bears witness against the person, but it cannot save. They too have sinned in thought, word, and deed by what they had done and by what they had left undone. So St. Paul in chapter 3 bunches the group together, both Jew and Gentile alike, and he says, "For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight, since through law comes knowledge of sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All are guilty. Every once in a while, I'll have a person that will approach me and ask, "Well, Pastor, how can I share the gospel with family and friends?" And what I would recommend is start with St. Paul's teaching, as he did here. Start with what we all have in common. We are all sinners. We have all sinned against each other and against God in thought, word, and deed. We all rightly deserve God's eternal wrath and punishment. But don't stop there. St. Paul goes on in verse 24 and he says, we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. All have sinned and all deserve eternal death, but Christ has come so that we are justified by grace as a gift given at a great cost to our Savior. For God put forward Jesus as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine patience, God had passed over former sins. Jesus' blood serves as a propitiation for our sin. Propitiation, a wonderful word. It's the means by or the place in which sins are forgiven. Jesus is our atonement. He has made full payment for our sin, for our transgressing against the law. But even more, Christ has paid for the sins of all, for the whole world, for Jew and Gentile alike, for believer and unbeliever alike, for you and for me and for everybody. Some will still reject this truth. They will want nothing to do with Jesus. But we know the truth. We are justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Faith is a free gift of God for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus came to live a life we could not. He came to die a death we dare not. He came to give us what we deserve not, eternal life. Jesus is the giver of faith and life, and in him all your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.
We thank Pastor Stephen Spencer for today's meditation on God's Word.